Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast today. We have a very special guest for you that I know will bless you immensely with his story today. Joey Wells was born with muscular dystrophy. He was not expected to live more than about age one or two, but he's defied the odds over these last 30 years. He's an inspiration to others through the way he lives his life, his activities, and through a book he's written called Through My Eyes. He's also an avid soccer fan specializing at Power Soccer, which we'll be talking about today. Folks, help me welcome to the program, Joey Wells. Joey, thank you so much for coming on the program today.
I appreciate you having me, sir.
Amen.
Good day to be here.
Amen. Now, the first question I always ask every guest is this. In your own words, other than that short bio that I read, tell us, who is Joey Wells?
Joey Wells is a wise captain, good-hearted, good guy.
Amen.
Now, that's, I believe in doing right by others while doing right by myself at the same time.
Yeah.
And making sure I can teach other people to not only look through their eyes, but look through other people's eyes as well, so we can find that common ground and relate to one another so we understand each other.
Amen. Amen. Now, I want to start at the beginning. Let's talk about your childhood for a minute. How did the muscular dystrophy affect your childhood? I mean, we know about the disability part, but I mean, how did that affect you and being able to interact with other kids and growing up? Give us an idea of what you had to go through.
Well, I would put it in two separate categories. I had challenges. Like, I was always in the hospital, like, every 3 to 6 weeks for the first 7 years of my life. It was just, I lived in South Texas, so the humidity was even worse for my condition.
Yeah.
But I was always a kid, whether I was healthy in school, at the fair, you know, doing football games, or doing fishing or whatnot, but I was always a kid. Or if I was in the hospital having surgeries, you know, I would play t-ball in the summer, but when I was in the hospital, I would use my IV board as a baseball bat and a percussion cup as a baseball. So it's like, throw me a pitch, Mom. And then the second part was, teased a lot, because I couldn't run around with the other kids and stuff. But the hardest thing I had to deal with growing up was my father thought I was useless while he written me off from day one.
Wow.
So me and my mom, I have two brothers and a sister, and my parents got divorced when I was 7. We moved to North Dakota, and my brothers eventually moved back to Texas because that's where they were mostly from, and they wanted to finish school there. And so I was 8 years old. I called back home, talking to my brothers, and my brother said, "Hey, Dad, you want to talk to Joe?" And he's like, "No, I don't want to talk to him." My brother gave him the phone, but forced him to have it. And my dad said, I'm like, "Hey, Dad, I miss you. I love you." And he said to me, "Well, boy, you walking yet?" And I said, "I'm working on it." He's like, "You go trying harder, you will be walking." And that, he hung up on me. That crushed me as a little kid. So I slammed the phone down, and I was like, "Mom, I need your help. I need you to stand me up and let me walk. I need to sound any help." And I took one step, and I fell. Mm. And my mom caught me. She taught me right before I hit the ground. And I said, "Mom, what are you doing? If I can't walk on my own, I deserve to fall." And my mom looked at me and told me, "Son, you cannot listen to what other people say. Yeah. You never deserve to be hurt for what you cannot do. You're giving your all, and you are able to walk. You just do it your own way. Some people walk on 2 feet. You walk on 4 wheels. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the 2 parts of my childhood. Yeah. I had to learn to accept myself, but also I was always just being a kid.
Yeah, amen, amen. You know, I had a friend back in Texas. We used to live in the Killeen, Texas, and then Fort Worth, Texas area, and I had an insurance agency. Say again?
That's a good couple towns.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it. Well, I'm living in Maryland now, Baltimore, Maryland. We moved here actually 18 years tomorrow. We've been in Baltimore, Maryland. The Lord led us here. I didn't want to move from Texas. I love Texas. I loved especially the Fort Worth area. And you know, it was very clear that he needed us here. And, you know, we've been blessed since we've been here, but, you know, my heart is still back in Texas, and I'd move back in a heartbeat, but this is where the blessing is, so this is where I remain, you know.
Hey, I hear you. I would move back in Texas in a heartbeat, but the weather does not like me.
Amen. Amen. Well, I had a friend back in Texas. His name was Tony, and he had MS. He didn't have MD. He had MS. And, you know, he ended up working in my office as the lead admin. And, you know, he was so bold in his ability to inform people, you know, who thought he was, you know, mentally weak instead of just, you know, a muscle issue. It wasn't a muscle issue. It was a mental issue. I mean, they thought it was a mental issue, but, you know, he was bold in letting them know, look, you know, I may not be able to get up and go around like you do, but I can still outthink you and do a little, you know, all this other stuff. And, you know, how have you conquered those situations when people wanted to treat you differently like that?
Oh, man, it's the same thing as what your friend Tony did. It's always, you know, when you're in this world, you never want to be the hardest. You want to be the smartest.
Yeah.
And so what I always tell people is, you know, I may not do it like you do, but I'm going to find a way to get to the finish line. Amen. It doesn't matter how you get there, and that's about the result. It's like if I drop my cell phone, I can't reach down and get it with my hands. Yeah. But if I can grab a plastic bag and I can grab my pull stick, and I can push my phone into the plastic bag and then put the pull stick through the handles and pitch it up that way.
Amen.
You know, it's all about figuring out your own way to do things.
Yeah.
See, when I was in middle school and high school, my school wanted to get money from the state. So even though I was getting A's and B's and was on the honor roll, they said to me one day, "Hey, look, you're going to be in special ed from now on." I said, "Why? What's the point of that? I'm on the honor roll." Well, this is what we're going to do from now on. And my mom told me, "You don't start things, but you can finish it." So I firmly believe in that. So I just straight up told them, "Look, I don't care what you said. I know my rights. I'm not going to take nothing for granted and hold myself back. So y'all can stay here. I got to go back to class." And I went back to class and then called my mom. Then called my mom to tell them, "Look, he's right. You can't force him to do something just because you want money from the state."
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm lucky is that I have support from my mom and my family, but a lot of people aren't so lucky. So you have to know who you are and what you want in life. And because, especially when it comes to medications, you can't just let people tell you what you need. You have to know and refuse to take stuff
if
it's not necessary.
Yep. Amen. You know, it was funny you mentioned that because, you know, since my injury on May 12th of 2007, you know, I've had, if we counted all of them, it's probably 32 different procedures done, medical procedures. And you know, they had me on, you know, started off on mild narcotics and it kept working its way up to ultimately I was on like five different basically narcotics. Three of them were at the maximum dosage allowed by the FDA. So anything stronger than that, they would consider it experimental and wouldn't be covered by insurance. And last October, October 15th, I remember all I was doing was sleeping all day because, you know, you couldn't take all the medicines at once because, you know, you'd overdose. So I had them spread out during the day. As soon as I take it, about 20 minutes later, I'd be asleep. And it seemed like that's all I was doing. I was getting so angry. That on October 15th, I decided, of 2018, I decided, you know what, I'm not taking this stuff anymore. Just like you said, you got to make up your own mind. And I trashed all of the prescriptions. So now, I mean, I couldn't even go back in a moment of weakness, you know. I trashed them. And I had withdrawals. I didn't know I was hooked on it that bad. And I had withdrawals that lasted about 10 days. And I refused to go to the doctor. I had a normally scheduled doctor's appointment, you know, a few days after that. And I did not sleep for the first 4 days. You know, I was freezing, but I was sweating. We were washing the sheets every single morning because I just sweat through them. And
it felt like you had rats running through your veins.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I hear you.
The pain, it was just absolutely horrible. So the fourth day I went in to see the doctor. This is a regular scheduled appointment, and I must have looked pretty ragged because he walked in, you know, how usually he's all jovial, hi, how you doing type thing. He walked in, took one look at me and said, what the hell happened to you? And I told him, I said, I quit taking my medicine. He goes, you what? Why would you? And I said, I'm not taking it anymore, period. That's it. He goes, well, let me give you this stuff. I ain't taking your medicine. You know, he was going to try and wean me. I said, no. You know, it's been 4 days. I'm not going back. And I haven't had one since. Glory to God, you know. But, you know, I understand when you said that about, man, you know, you need to tell whether it's medicine or anything. You know, I have an acquaintance, Barbie Engel. She's with the National Pain Federation out in, I think it's Los Angeles, California. And I interviewed her on the podcast for her, and we struck up a pretty good relationship. And she was a model. She was a professional NFL cheerleader and all that. She had everything going for her until she got hurt. And, you know, then she can't even, you know, sometimes her pajamas hurt her skin, you know. I mean, she's and she's a lot of health issues and stuff. But, and she was, you know, she went to so many doctors, they couldn't diagnose what it was and didn't know how to treat it. So it was all experience, you know. Well, try this. Well, let's try this. Well, let's try this. And finally, she, just like you said, she had enough of it and said, you know what, I'm taking charge of my own body. And her tagline on her stuff is, you need to be the CEO of your medical team, you know. Because you hire those doctors to treat you. And if they're not doing the job, fire them. You know? Because all the doctors are trying to do is, well, let's try this medicine. Oh, that didn't work. Well, let's up the dosage. Oh, that didn't work. Let's try this medicine. And when she said that, and that just resonated with me, it took about 6 months before, you know, I built up that that willpower to do that. But, man, everything you just said, it rings 100% true. You know, you need to be the one making the decision, not the doctors. The doctors give you their best advice. You know, it's just like if you were going to an investment banker or something, you know, hey, I got this money, I want to invest in stocks. What should I do? And, oh, you need to invest in this one over here and da-da-da-da-da. Well, I really don't like that company. You know, I've heard stuff about it. I want to, oh, no, but don't worry about that. The advisor is there to give advice. The decision is yours, you know?
Yeah, you gotta know yourself and know what you're getting into.
Exactly.
If you just go into something blind, then you got a high probability of going into something bad.
Yeah. So you gotta high probability. That's right. And your health is the same way. Your health is the same way. You're the one who knows what is going on inside your body and what it's feeling like, and when you take this medicine, what that's making you feel like. So, yeah, you're absolutely spot on, brother. You're the one that needs to be in charge of that. And the doctors are just there to give you advice. You know, hey, man.
They don't know exactly what is going on with you. They just have the parameters of what this is like.
Yeah.
And my disease is so rare, no doctor can be like, well, this is what other people do with yours. They just kind of go, well, this is what we do with regular patients, by the regular parameters of a patient, but yours is so different. So it's like, let's just go this way. I'm like, that's not going to work.
Amen.
You mentioned
yours is different. Tell us how yours is unique.
It's extremely rare. We're not exactly sure exactly what type it is. For most of my life, I thought it was myotubular myopathy, but I found out about 4 years ago that it's not that. And so, but it's a close relative to that. So we believe it's central nuclear myopathy, which is the sister to myotubular myopathy. But there's so many variances of the diseases. There's like hundreds of thousands of variances to these diseases. So it's hard to pin down exactly what it is. And the DNA test costs a lot of money to get it done. So it's like, I'm already 30 years past my due date, and I'm not going to go spend $10,000-$20,000 on something they still don't have an answer for.
Right.
So
yeah,
I'm going to enjoy my life and do what I want, because it's just as important as, see, I'm a firm believer in, I don't want to just live, I want to be alive.
Amen.
Just like you said, you have an injury because you kept sleeping all day, you were having a real life.
Yeah.
You were just wasting away.
Yeah, amen.
But you took control, and now you're living the life that you choose. That's what I'm all about. It's my anti-average, a lifestyle you choose.
Yep.
Don't let people boss you around, because they cannot be you.
Yeah, amen. And you know, you talked a little bit about, you know, them not being able to diagnose you accurately, and you know, you won't respond to the normal parameters that they're giving. That's, you know, in my case, it's the same thing. You know, obviously I'm not there with your disability, but I have like almost no feeling from the waist down, you know, and you know, when I do have feeling, usually it's pain, just running through all my vein. I mean, it's, you know, just touching my leg sometimes with my fingers hurts, you know, the neuropathy type thing. And then, well, we don't know why you're exhibiting these symptoms. And, you know, this doesn't make sense. I mean, they've burned off the main nerves and, you know, they grow back, but it did nothing. You know, there's just so many different things that they've tried. There's a reason they call medicine a practice.
It's just a practice.
You know, they don't know what they're doing. They just say, well, 90% of the patients with these symptoms respond to this. Okay, what about the other 10? Well, we're trying to figure that out.
It's a roll of the dice.
Exactly. Yeah, amen. Tell us some of the places you've lived in your life.
Well, I lived in South Texas, as we mentioned. You know, the deep south around Yorktown. That's my hometown.
Okay.
And then I lived in North Dakota for about 11 years. I've been known North Dakota. I call it a village because there's only like 60 people who live there, and 40 of them live out in the country. And everybody who lived in the town was either related to me or related to another family.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
And Then when I turned 18 years old, I was like, I can't stand this cold weather. I want to do something with my life. North Dakota's boring. I got to get the hell out of here. So I moved to L.A. just on a whim. They said, hey, let's go to Hollywood. Why not?
Hey, man.
So I moved to Hollywood. Then I became ambassador for Muscular Dystrophy Association, Joshua Fraze Foundation, the Forever Wish Foundation. And that's when I found out about college soccer. And I helped form the Glendale Rough Riders. And now I live in Arizona just as a writer and as a businessman.
Amen.
And on my time off, all I do is chase women. So that's what I like to do.
Amen. Amen. There you go. And so do you still play the power soccer?
I took the last year or two off. Mm-hmm. I've been focusing on my business.
Okay.
As my health is tended to dull downhill. So I wanted to make sure I took care of my family.
Yeah.
Because they've given me so much of their lives and sacrificed so much for me to be able to have opportunities. I want to make sure before I go out of this world that I leave them with something so they can go choose the life that they want to live.
Yeah,
so that's what they've done for me, so I want them to do the same thing.
What kind of business are you in?
It's very new. I'm an author. Mm-hmm. I have the two books, Through My Eyes, which won a John Lennon Award. And my newest book is Mama Gave Birth to Greatness, which is my autobiography. It's on Amazon.
Okay.
But I have a company called Anti-Average, LLC.
Amen.
And we're kind of a media merchandise, but we're very in the early stages, so we're still getting the merchandise out. But our slogan is a lifestyle you choose.
Yeah.
And
amen.
Our other slogan is, well, why stand short when you can sit tall? So we're all about empowerment, equality, and making the arts so that we have a platform for the voice. So we have a platform to be the voice for the voiceless.
Amen. Yeah, there you go. Amen. That's good. Now, when with your business, is it like an online business is what you're trying?
Yeah. Okay. We're online. The website isn't up quite yet, but my website, joeywells.net, you can buy my books on there, or you can go to Amazon, or you can look this up on Facebook. And we're in the early stages, but we will be putting out more new material, as in books and other articles and music. And we will also be having a clothing line coming out shortly.
Amen. Amen. So you're staying busy.
Hey, man, let's shine. Let's shine.
Amen. Amen. Now, give us your website information again. We're not done with the interview, but I know some people, they can't stay for the entire thing. So I want to make sure they have your website info so that they can get in touch with you and take a look around in case they have to leave our interview early today. So give us that information again.
It's my name, Joey, JoeyWells.net. You can go on there. I got articles and interviews. I got book material and other information about myself and how to get in touch with me. And hey, if anybody out there wants an opportunity to get their art out into the world, whatever kind of art it is, I'm always open to helping people. So you reach out to me, maybe we can make something happen. I can help you get somewhere, as I truly believe we should pass along what is given to us. So I've been given a platform, so if I can give you one, I will do that as well.
Amen.
And also on Amazon.com too.
Yeah, amen. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with our interview with Joey Wells. Now, Joey has overcome so much in his life that I just knew that this was going to be an inspirational interview that so many people can relate to on so many different levels. You may not be going through the exact same things that Joey has had to deal with in his life, but everybody has something going on. Everybody has issues that they have to deal with. And I wanted to give you this interview with Joey so you hear things from his perspective on how he just made the decision he was going to love on people. He just made the decision that he is going to live life as full as he can. You know, it's one thing to be alive, but he wants to live life. Amen. That's inspiration. That's good preaching right there. Glory to God. And I'm telling you what, tomorrow's interview, we'll wrap up our interview with him tomorrow, and it just gets better. This is an awesome interview with an awesome person, right? Joey Wells. You need to go to his website. You need to order his book. It's called Through My Eyes. It's available on his website at joeywells.net. And his other book, which is Mama Gave Birth to Greatness, is available on there and on Amazon. So you can go to either of those sources to order these books. I highly recommend it. But more importantly, come back tomorrow because we'll be wrapping up our interview with Joey Wells. Till then, this is Brother Bob. Remember, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.